What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
Into sports.
20 yards out, Urs to shoot, don't shoot! Oh, what a goal for Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah. No.
Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do, get a slap?
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports, ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your app store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network.
Now then, you're very welcome along. Latest in our series of GAA roadshows. It's all in association with Supervalue. We are calling on GAA fans right across the country to support where you're from. You can check out our OTB social channels. Some great prizes to be won there. And check out as well facebook.com/SupervalueIreland for more information. It is a Connacht-themed roadshow. We have Galway against Mayo in a Connacht final. Still licking his wounds after the weekend's Munster final. My co-host for the evening, Kieran Donaghy, hello.
Hi, Joe, how are you?
Oh, I'd say your WhatsApp groups are humming, are they?
I disengaged.
I'd say there's a lot of bitching going on in your WhatsApp groups right now.
Do you know like Maverick in Top Gun, when he loses the plot in the plane, he just banks off left and he goes away. That's the way I'm gone in the WhatsApp groups now. I've just drifted off. And when I come back in, then it'll be like re-engaged and I'll be locked and loaded firing missiles left, right and centre. But not at the moment, unfortunately.
I can well imagine. So we've got Galway players coming your way very soon, but we're starting with Mayo, of course. Where else could we start? So we have the main man with us, Mayo 1995 to 08, a retirement in there, but he came back and gave Donaghy a few smacks in Croke Park one day. DB, David Brady, you're very welcome.
Pleasure, guys. Great to be here, in all fairness. Great to be here. It's been a while.
It sure has. It's great to have you with us. And then delighted to say, I mean, I haven't spoken to you before, but it's great to have Larry Finnerty, who we've had a few times on the show down the years. Mayo, I think about 1986 through to 96. Larry, great to have you with us.
Yeah, started around 84 to 96. And great to be here to share the stage with two legends, like the two boys there.
Joe and Kieran.
So, Larry,
I'm just a novice here. You know, DB is such a professional. He even looks good on the radio.
Larry had a lovely purple pullover on him there about a half an hour ago when he was getting ready, and I had to advise him. Yeah, it didn't go well with the modern wallpaper that's got on behind him.
Well, I tell you, when we pile on the pressure now, he'll be under pressure with that shirt on. Yeah. Don't lift your hands in the way, Larry, if the pressure starts coming on you.
It's not really. It's an off purple. It's not maroon or anything near it.
I thought it was more of a lilac, to be honest.
So listen, we have lots to discuss when it comes to Mayo. Larry, if I was to sum things up very quickly, 1989, obviously, great game in the final against Cork. You scored a goal, heartbreak. A couple of years later, there was a semi-final defeat, 20-odd points. I think at that stage, this is before a young David Brady swaggers into camp, but I think at that stage you were about done, were you, until Mahon came along?
Oh, I was, surely. I was. I was finished after that hammering from Cork in the semi-final, and I had finished up. Funny enough, David was probably playing in the Connacht final, a Mayo Galway Connacht final of 95, where Mayo took a right pasting in Tuam. But on that particular day, I was on the streets of Galway appearing in a Machnas parade. At the same time, they had a team, it was called Hay Fever. I was going down with cocks of hay that were on wheels. It was something I always wanted to do. So people were shouting at me, and we had a Connacht final on in the background, and people were shouting at me, you know, why aren't you in Tuam? And I was saying, sure, I can't. I have a field of hay for saving. But a year later, I was back again. So little did I think I'd go from the streets of Galway running around with cocks of hay to being back in a Connacht final a year later.
And tell us about the first time DB swaggers into camp.
Sure, I have no idea. I'm sort of at an age now, I can't really remember that far. But I do remember there was a big raw rugby player arrived in and he was sort of bouncing off lads. And I suppose that's what he did for the rest of his career.
He had
a big pair of elbows, hammers of elbows and bony knees. And he was like a sort of a Frisian cow or something you'd let out for the first time, you know, jittering around the place. So he didn't do too badly at the end of the day.
I actually wasn't playing that day in 95 that we got hammered. I was in the stand shouting Mayo on, Larry. It was, 2 months. 2 months later was my first introduction.
You came in. Okay, good stuff.
September, October, with a bunch of... Now, I wasn't the only one swaggering in. There was about five or six of us that was kind of the new kids on the block. We had come up through the ranks. We had played in two All-Ireland finals the two previous years against Kerry and Cork, I think it was. And it was our first introduction to senior football. And when you see the likes of Fat Larry in the dressing room, and as I don't know any of us can't call him anything else but Fat Larry. He's lost a few pounds since. But
I remember coming back into that panel being asked in. I didn't come back in until just after Christmas. I had sort of said, look, I'm going to Dublin for a year. I'm doing a course. I'd play a bit of Sigerson, but I came back in. But the one thing I noticed was that the panel had a crowd of young fellas and they were like bloody gazelles, like James Nallon, and probably, I don't know how good you were at the running, but what I found, I kept saying to myself for most of that year, what in the hell did Mohan bring the likes of me back here for to be lapped, you know, sort of week on week by these fucking gazelles that were just super, super runners and super fit. But I hung in there, and sure, look, we had a good enough year out of it, you know, even if it didn't work out right in the end.
And come here,
to me, Larry, just before we move on. Jacko was with you in 93, 94. I know it ended badly.
He was.
But was he a bit unlucky or how did it? I know that the cock defeat was a big one. Looking back in the Leitrim one, it looked like just one of those days for you. But how did you find him? Because whenever I talk to him, I always find him very knowledgeable and all that about football. Obviously, he's four player of the year, so he knows his stuff.
Was knowledgeable, and I suppose he came in. It was a tough enough gig because there was a bit of a coup, or we'll call it, he came in as a new sort of a dawn, and I think Mayo were in transition. That team that we had 89-90, it needed sort. It was coming to the end, and he kept on a number of us for a year or two, and there was like a split in the camp, so to speak. So it wasn't an easy gig. We had the older lads. Who felt, some of them felt that we're still there, we still should be playing. And sometimes, you know, and I was one of those myself, probably, that you think you're going well, and you think, but you're probably not going well enough. Do you know what I mean? Even myself, 96, I played that final and probably was past it, you know. So I look back on stuff. It's a hard call when you're at that age. Sort of Jacko got landed. Jacko's a lovely fella and was, you know, he was doing his best, but it was the Mayo were in a bit of a transition at the time. So he got landed, not with a great hand, I think.
Reading up on it, it kind of looks like he got pinned in him a small bit, but you did come again then with that young team that David was coming through on.
Yeah, it sort of got to the lows of losing a Connacht final to Leitrim. And to get a right pasting from Galway in 95. And then John Mahon came in with a new approach, but he also had a good crop of young lads that were chomping at the bit, as he'd say himself, and were rearing to go. And he found some good lads, and he got the likes of David back in from a promising rugby career or whatever he was doing. And there was a few other lads there, but there was a good, do you know what I mean? There was a good crop of young lads that were obviously bringing that energy, and they were good players, you know? So the whole thing switched again nearly, you know, overnight. That can happen, I suppose, maybe where Mayo were on their knees 1 year and really were humiliated by Galway. And the following year, we turned them over in Castlebar.
Yeah, you've got two batches of under 21s coming through if they're going to pick it up. And before we move on to them, what about Mahan when you just brought him up there, and I listened to Brawl by Owen Sheehan last night about the 96 year, and Jesus, that training in Ruislip after he'd a stuttering performance, let's call it, against London, and there might have been reasons behind that as well that never got noticed, but what was that talk people through that didn't hear or didn't listen in to that training session, because it sounded violent is the word I'd use.
Well, David Brady, I think, gives a better account of that than I did. Look at this. John did tell us going over. Now, we did train that weekend. We trained in Dublin on the Friday. Was it the Friday or was it the Saturday? It was the Friday.
And we trained in Mayo on the Thursday as well, remember?
Yeah, we probably trained, yeah. And we had a good hard session in Dublin. We flew over, but on the Sunday morning, the morning of the game, it was a beautiful morning in London, and whatever hotel we were staying, there was a massive park just beside it. I remember
Hyde Park, Larry.
Was it Hyde Park? It could be Hyde Park. Did you say Hyde Park?
Massive park.
There's not too many around London.
Yeah. I remember. Johnny got excited when he saw the size of this park, so he decided to take us for a run, and I think he lost the run of himself, but we had a right good hard session. I remember running around lads that were trying to play cricket, and we were flying around. I think we ruined their cricket game or whatever, but the actual session dragged on. It was probably more than a warm-up, so we didn't play well, only that Maurice Sheridan actually was able to kick the freeze that day. I missed a penalty. I kicked a penalty off the post and had a disaster. But John had given us the plan for the weekend, and he had said, listen, lads, we're going training in Westminster. This is the plan on Monday morning. We're coming back, and you can do what you want, but the training is going to happen. Of course, we thought, look, he's having a laugh here. Well, I think some of us did anyway. Didn't take him too seriously. So went into the clubhouse. We were leaving, flying back about an hour or two, and we started there, and we had a few bottles, I suppose, and we all had some relations. And
just to settle you for the flight.
Just had to settle, yeah.
A few settlers.
We obviously got as far as Dublin. I think we were staying in the Regency, which became the Regency, somewhere close to the airport. And so we continued on there, and it got a bit lively. And then we said we'd take a spin into Coppers, and Coppers doesn't close too early. We came back.
Not if you know the right fellas.
We had another few. At this stage, we said, we convinced ourselves, obviously, he's not going to, he won't call training. And some of us, anyway, had the breakfast. David Brady tells a lie that I was dancing at 6 o'clock in the morning on a grand piano.
Whether it was a grand piano or a fine piano. It was a piano, Larry.
I'm not sure if I was able to get up on a grand piano at that hour of the morning. But we decided, those of us that were left decided to have the breakfast before we went to bed anyway. It was one of those nights. And of course, we were awoken again about at 8 o'clock to say the session was on at half nine. Well, we got a rude awakening. Put it like this: he started with about.
I'll stop you there for a second, Larry. This night out isn't over yet. Here, we haven't moved on to that part of the story yet. DB, talk to us about this dancing.
This is the reality, boys, and I have to say, I look back and I'm going, by Jesus, we had some crack, but how you can integrate boys on. Which we were coming in, the young kids in the block, with the likes of these all. Like, I was a 14-year-old in All Ireland watching Larry scoring a goal. Led Zeppelin. I was 14 years of age watching fat Larry scoring a goal in an Ireland final in a memorable day. Mm. And then I'm looking up at around 5:15 in the morning, and there, it's the first time I've seen him in full flight. And anyone that knows him knows it's an absolute joy to behold. But he was throwing moves that were never... That Riverdance, he was Riverdance before... That's 20 years before his time. But because you are an Irish champion dancer, Larry.
I won't say. I was probably a champion of my gauna. I don't think that was really...
Which is a stronghold for Irish dancing as well in Ireland.
I got to the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 and beyond, but I could improvise. And I think... my party piece was always to attempt a few steps. And of course, at the time, Riverdance had just taken off. So I think I had gone a little bit into the improvisation of the Fat Larry Riverdance special.
All I knew was the longer Fat Larry stayed up on the piano, the less chance I had been at the back the next morning. That's what we were saying. So Fat Larry is still at the piano. We're grand.
So Westmanstown. Westmanstown then. Tell us about this training session Martin put you through.
David probably remembers. I was too sick. I was in too much pain.
You wouldn't. In all fairness, he knew it. He knew by the smell of us, never by the look of us, that we had done the complete and utter dog on it. And we ran. And then we ran some more. And it was like, I felt like dying. Only for Larry was so bad, I said, I'm not too bad. And it was Larry. You wanted to crawl up and curl up and die. And I remember he said to you, and I was picking you up at one arm, and Liam McHale was picking you at the other. And Mahan looked down at you like he does. And he says, Larry, you haven't got the heart. He says, Larry looks up, he says, John, I have the heart, but I haven't got the lungs. And
I think the lungs were full of something or other. It wasn't oxygen anywhere. Right? They were full of some sort of fluid.
I never forget it. We were actually after the session, it was just silence. Everyone just went from Westminstown down the N4 home. Myself and Liam McHale pulled into the lake in Mullingar. I was driving Liam at the time. Liam had the car, but he couldn't drive. So I had to drive Liam. And the two of us pulled over and put the two seats back. And I slept. I'd say we slept for 3 or 4 hours. We had to, because it was like we did train. I remember that instant in Hyde Park, the big park, Larry. It was scorching hot. And we were actually profusely sweating in a warm-up. That lasted about an hour and 10 minutes. And the more there was a little bit of bickering that Sunday morning before the game, because we're going, hey, what's the story here, John? And once you say that to John, so he'll just tell you run a bit more. And but you know what? It nearly killed us, but it kind of made us as well. Like,
was it a part of a master plan by him, Dave? Tire you out a bit so he can't perform that great and he'll have you under the pump for the year.
By Jesus, it was some plan if we got our arses handed to us over in Ricelip and no back door.
I think it probably was a plan that it was a training weekend. He had that session scheduled in. We felt probably that he wasn't really serious about that. We thought, John, we got the win, but because we had played so poorly, he decided I'll go full tilt at this, you know, and I'm going to flake these fellas. We hear of lovely recovery sessions now on the Monday, lads going to the pool and the sauna and the steam room. There was none of that. There was the steam. There was steam, all right.
If they could have put a roof over Hyde Park, it'd be a steam room.
I think so.
If I fast forward, so we can't go through every game in that kind of depth. Sounds like Ruislip was a good weekend, and then I mean, ultimately, Larry, 96, that replay. That's your last day in a Mayo jersey. What's your big strongest memory of those two games?
Oh well, losing them. It's something that'll stay with us for the rest of our life. Any of us that were there, I've found it very difficult, and I suppose I have returned to the scene a few times, but it's painful. I think really what stands out for me is that in that first game, we were cruising midway through the second half. I was on the bench and I was we were looking around and saying, my God, we're going to win the All-Ireland. And those of us that were on the bench were saying, we can't believe how easy it's going to be after all these years, we're going to actually win. And then it was like turning a switch, you know, and you'd often see it in juvenile football. When the tide turns, it just went out. And all of a sudden from being cruising, we were hanging in. We were still in the lead when they started surrounding the pitch to get the stewards started coming around in the jackets, and we were still in front. And that was probably, and I'd imagine or this Mayo team, the same thing has happened to them with Dublin, where they may have been a point up and still lost the All-Ireland with the stewards coming, but you could practically nearly feel it. And we were hanging in for dear life, desperate. Then the second day, again, really windy day, and felt, you know, it was one of those days, big wind, could have gone either way. Again, we had chances to win it, but I think overall with the 2 days, it's just a horrible feeling. I think horrible feeling to even have the game won the first day and it's a draw, such an anticlimax. There's such a build-up to an All-Ireland final, first of all, you have all that. It takes a lot out of you. And even to draw the game, there was an anti. And even the second day, it was like a death. It was as close to that. It was horrific. And probably, personally,
you people all week then probably constantly telling you and constantly reminding you, oh Jesus, you had it, and what happened, and they were haunted, and the ball, how did the ball bounce over, and that's playing around in your head then all week as you're trying to get ready to go again.
Well, it is, Kieran, and I'm sure you have won All-Irelands, but the ones that you have lost, you think more about them, I'd imagine, than the ones you have won. So you were so close, and for us, we knew we were within touching distance. Like people would say, even about 89, I was the width of the post or whatever it was. It skimmed the post, that second shot. Maybe if that had gone in, you know, you could nearly measure it in centimetres. You could measure it in seconds and minutes that first day. And to be that close to the damn thing, and it's a horrific feeling, and it will stay with you no matter what. It'll stay with me to my last day. I will always and find it very difficult to actually go back and throw all over it. And you know, I do have regrets myself. I started the second day. You know, I still say, was I past it? Was it bad? You know. Should I have been smarter and said, look at no, you know, I was one of the older, but well, you know, when you're in the situation, you probably want to play and you feel, you know, but it's something that you'll be living with this, and you'll have thoughts about it anyway, and nightmares, and, you know, but it'll never leave you. It was a really tough one. I don't know what David, you might.
You're starting to sweat in that lilac shirt now, Larry.
I sweat all the time about that. It's terrible. It's a shocker, like.
Do you, yeah, I honestly, Larry, see, I just remember the crack. I look at the feeling never leaves you, but the memories of it. And I think the whole journey of it is not just on one day and one result and one final whistle. Because, yes, you know, you come home with a loser's medal. But it was, and again, I remember after the first drawing game, we were down to Nisgrone then again on the beach. I think it was the Tuesday night, and I'm going, oh, geez, I thought I'd seen the back of these 7.5K runs. But as long as you had Larry, that you were always up there. You were always guaranteed to be second lashed. But it's. But I remember someone saying, and look at us, have you played in replays, Kieran?
I've played, not in the final.
Yeah, and even from even
semi-final
last year
is bad enough. Yeah. Like it's just the deflation and going, Jesus, we have to do it all again. And it's not just the game; it's the build up, it's the meetings, it's the study, it's trying to get ready.
You've thrown the All-Ireland finals, the tickets, it's the media, the hype, it's everything.
But when you look at it, and I would have seen it back, you don't realise it at the time, but Tommy O'Malley, who was a selector, he said, we have the opportunity to have the best 2 weeks of our life again. Yeah. And the build-up is that. Only when you look back, it's like the hype and the that's what you are as a footballer in the 2 weeks beforehand, and you're in your prime, and you're looking forward to the greatest occasion in sport in any year, in a calendar year in Ireland. You have all that to look forward to again. And I think that's the way Tommy formulated it. And it actually was kind of going, you know what? Jesus, I had some 2 weeks there. Let's look forward to these next 2 weeks. Mm. And And yeah, again,
I suppose, yeah, David, you were a young lad. You were starting out. That was my, yeah. I knew that that was going to be my last game.
That was your last.
I probably, ever, that yeah. was probably maybe hit me harder.
It probably definitely hit harder because Dave, you were also after doing under 21s and stuff, and you were fresh, like you were kind of going, we're coming into a good team here now. Like,
I seemed, I might, not that I thought I might never lose again, but I knew I was starting out my career for the next 14 years, yeah. where Larry knew it was his last. His last
the,
time.
The pressure is always worse the later you go in your career. Yeah. Is always like you when you're a young fella, yeah. you don't know any better. You're just like, let's go, bring it on, whoever it is, I don't care. But when you're older, you start thinking about,
yeah.
is this the last day? Is it not the last day? You know, you start
and we had a lot of players of Fat Larry's generation and vintage. Say like there was Dermot Flanagan, there was Tom Riley, Holmesy, you know, within the next 12 months, they never kicked the ball after from Mayo again. But yeah, you become oblivious to what the end is like when you're a 21-year-old. I was the youngest player for Mayo on the pitch that day.
But if you're somebody who looks back on the what could have beens, geez, there's more than enough in those two games in 96. You know, you're 6 points clear when the stewards are coming round. As Kieran said, there's the ball bouncing over the bar. There's Pat McEnany doing his thing. You know, that's the other infamous part of all this. And I was listening to Owen Sheehan's documentary as well. I think you two were both on it. And it's funny, David, Liam McHale makes the point in it that he went from 16 stone and ripped strong on the day of that All-Ireland final. By Christmas time, hadn't even looked at a training field. He was 19 stone. You know, very, very hard for him at 32 years of age to get over after everything. I think you were sitting beside him in the dressing room even afterwards.
Yeah, and like, see, the whole thing is that back then, in them days, you got on the bike straight away in National League. But, and it was only, and to, again, Owen's documentary, you said to yourself, we were on the front page of the national newspapers after that. Like, I think there was 15 of us, and it was like we were all like criminals. Put it and saying, I remember when we got the verdict was handed down that we were all kind of with criminal mugshots and 6 months for him, 3 months for him. Yeah. I think Larry got 4 months for just lying down in the middle of the fight.
Yeah, well,
he started it though.
Bringing the game into disrepute.
Did you get suspended, Larry?
I did. I got 3 months at least.
Yeah, I got 4 months. McKay got 6 months. But so what do you do then from September to Christmas? But it was the only time you could get off training. Yeah. The only time you could get off training with Mahan was when you got suspended for 3 or 4 months. But it took us when that whole thing in Croke Park, we went up to Croke Park and we were in front of, like, wasting our time, obviously, yeah. trying to defend what we did. But we were in a place called Rathdone. Richie's the Rathdone was the pub at the time. Now it's now Furyk's. But we all stopped off in a bus, and we had a spy in the camp in Central Council, and the word came through around 11:15, half 11, that 3 months for Finnerty, 4 months for Brady, 5 months for Dempsey, 6 months for McHale. So I think we actually stayed in the pub that night, and we slept in some of the bedrooms, and that was us saying, right, this is a chance to take a break for 3 months. But when you look at it, and if you think about Cork now at the time, we had won, we were in Division 3 at the time. So we won Division 3 in 1996, and we got into a whisker of an All-Ireland final. And that's what momentum, and that's what, I suppose, hunger combined with experience gets you. And it's not that I'm saying it's not impossible now, but it's been unheard of totally and utterly since. But we all had a chance to winter well.
So Larry, you played in two finals. David, you played in four, coming on as a sub in one of them. Showed Donaghy what's what, if I remember.
No, by just it's immense. When you have won two or I know I did 2-1. He had won 2 or 1-3 in the bag, but he had set up 2 previous goals. So he didn't care what I was going to be doing coming down on when it was 12 points. When you're 12 points up, you don't mind what timber you get. But
that's the way to win in All Ireland, isn't it?
Oh yeah. Do you know what was I? I'm coming on 12 points down, and the big dog. I did make sure. I said to myself, whatever comes in, he's not going catching it anyway.
Oh, you absolutely cleaned me in the first one. I would look at them all, and you clean me on the first one.
Hey, don't worry.
Do you know what you could have done? You could have ran on with a samurai sword and cut me in half, and the ref wouldn't have given a penalty.
I either said, do I go down here myself, because I knew I was going to get a free out anyway, or do I give him timber? He was like one of the boys that Strictly Come Dancing. He was all hips, but the man says, I just knew before he makes his go for it, and I said, right, time to connect hips. And so he was never going to give a penalty as well. I made sure it was close enough to the box. The referee didn't want his 15 points down.
See, he's smarter than he looks.
Oh, here, look at when you're on the bench, look and see what's happening. And they absolutely annihilated us in that kind of trajectory of long ball in and laying it off. And again, once Kieran got his, it's not that it's a pity, but this is the reality, and I'm not Mance's licking his arse, but if the offensive mark was then as it is now, I'd be afraid to see what kind of damage he would have done. Because there was no one able to compete with him fairly and squarely in 9 times out of 10.
And David, is a hammering like that in a final easier in some ways to square away and let go than the closeness in 96?
Thousand
much easier.
Percent.
Just forget about it.
I know, but I remember that halftime dressing room. Like, Kevin O'Neill got 2 goals right before halftime, and what's the left-legged midfielder? He was very good.
Pat Hart. Yeah,
he got the goal, and like all of a sudden we're 5 points. It went to 5, and we were like, and Declan Sullivan kicked a very calming point for us to settle us. But
once that goal went in, I never forget it. You looked over at Gooch, and you kind of looked going, what in the name of Jesus is going on here? Because we went from 12 down to 5.
Yeah.
And you get one.
Myself and Gooch were trying to figure out who'd go up the pitch and start the backs out of it.
If you were,
hey, we won the game in the first 3 minutes.
If you were going up, I was going following you. But you get one chance in it, and you don't really think about it at the time. But
did you come back from Dublin in that day? What were you down against Dublin?
We were eight down, yeah. 7 left. But you get a chance in a dressing room, and it wasn't that I was playing the card, but I just kind of said, right. I said, look where we are now. Look at the opportunity. We have to do one thing. And that one thing can mean us winning this game. And that's scoring first. Because I knew if we could put the first score on the board, ye would have serious question marks then. It's back to 4. 2 kicks of the ball in it. And it was, we need to get this first score. And if we do, hold on to your hats, because we're going to explode. Mm-hmm. And what happened? You got the first score. And it's kind of not a gamble, but you're going.
It is a gamble when you build it up in the dressing room that it's so big, and then someone comes out and scores. It's like, if it works, you're a mighty man, and you get to come back on.
You can't stop momentum. After
but it's that. Always it has to be a big focus anyway for any team that's down 4 or 5. The first score in the second half is always big. So like that's that was going without saying. But it was Larry. Who are you shouting for on Sunday, Larry?
I'm definitely shouting for Galway if they pick the right team. I'll be like every GA lunatic in the country. I'll be shouting at the television, but if they don't pick the right team, I'll be shouting at Galway, not for them. I'll be shouting definitely at the Galway sideline. But it's a really tough situation because I'm here. I'll obviously probably will be shouting for Galway, but I think in a situation like that, you can't win. Somebody says you can't lose, but you can't win, because if Galway have a bad day, I will be upset, obviously, for the young lad, and upset for the whole Galway team. I will be upset. And if they win, the part of me will be upset that Mayo are gone, you know? So,
do you see, Larry? I don't know what it would be like. I'm sure it's a sense of immense pride for you. But like when you have your son playing GEA in a Connacht final and it's a big occasion, and do you see a bit of yourself in him? Or do you just bring it back to... Because there is a sense of in air around the house, no matter what. Once it's a big game on, there's that great feeling, I think, in a household that has a family playing or a family member playing.
Well, to be honest, I try and just keep out of his way. I try and have food on the table or whatever he wants, just to make him comfortable and have him right. And I don't, he doesn't trust me that much in giving me information. And I don't like to be asking for information either. I don't think we're putting him on the spot. It's sort of strange. We sort of bounce off of each other a bit, you know. But he's different to me. I think he has a lot more confidence than I ever had. I had some horrific encounters early on in my career starting out. You know, I'd have been very nervous. And I suppose for the young lads, there'll be a lot of them starting the first Connacht final. But it's not really. It's really, you know, before this, you had the build-up and you had the whole atmosphere of the crowds and everything like that. So it's a little bit more organised, and it's easier, I think, for young lads to get a first Connacht final out of the way.
And so, Larry, what age is Robert now?
He's 22.
Okay, so he's still very young.
He's only a young lad, and this is his first real year. He was involved last year. He was on the bench. He got two runs in the championship. He came on for a few minutes against London and Sligo. He didn't tog for the Connacht final last year, but he was togged for the Mayo game down in Limerick and didn't get a run. So this really is his first opportunity, and he may not start. Like, he's 22. He had an okay, in fairness to Cormac Joyce, gave him a good few starts and gave him a good chance in the league. But at the same time, Mayo, you know, Galway, I don't really know what they're going with. But I'm all I'll say to him is that if you're not in the first 15, keep your head up. You know, I made a name for myself really most of the time coming on as a sub. So I can know the value of a sub. He's a shooter. You know, we saw Killian Spillane come on the last day, kick 4 points. So I'm saying to him, if he doesn't start, that'd be the only advice I'd say. Keep your head up and just get ready for being introduced. And if you start, enjoy it, you know?
Absolutely. Well, we wish him well. Time is coming against us here. So this Fat Larry business, you weren't kidding Brady when you said you have to call him Fat Larry. This is clearly the nickname for him.
I wouldn't be able to call Larry. I wouldn't be able to call him Matt.
When did this
Larry.
All start? I mean, and how deserving was he of Fat Larry?
Do you want me to tell that one story, Joe? Well, I'll tell you the story as it was. I was in college in the early 80s, and I went to New York for the summer of 82 on a J-1 visa. I was about 11 stone when I headed over, and I had a good summer over there. I came back, I was a little bit heavier, but at the same time, the group of friends that I hung around with were calling each other different names. You might call, how are you, George? How are you, Lara? How are you, you know, how are you, Peter, or whatever. So one of the first weeks back, we were at a party, as you do, first week, everybody comes back to college. We had a session. We ended up in some, and there was a radio in the whatever flat we were in, and somebody put it on. But the number one song at the time was a song called Zoom by the Fat Larry Band. And one of my mates, a fella from Kilkenny called Brian Glynn, looked at me and said, oh, there he is, Fat Larry. So it sort of stuck. And the song, it was a one-hit wonder called Zoom, believe it or not. which was ahead of its time. So,
for 38 years, you've been called Fat Larry because of that.
Well, I have been shaking it off every now and again. Some of my friends call me Larry when I drop a little bit of poundage, and then when I put a bit of poundage on, I sort of fluctuate. I'm a sort of a I fluctuate between Larry and Fat Larry. So,
dear, oh dear.
That's the history.
Well, listen.
Very good.
It was great to chat to you about those memories. David, you're going to stay on a little later on and we'll get your thoughts on the match on Sunday. Larry, we wouldn't make you do that, do a rigorous analysis of this game. You're not a disinterested party. It wouldn't be fair to you. But thanks so much for joining us. It was great to have you with us. Larry Finnerty.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks a million.
Thanks, see lads.
You guys. See thanks you, Fat Larry. Good luck, buddy.
All right.
We'll see you. That is part one done of our latest in our series of GAA Roadshows in association with Super Value. We're calling on GAA fans across the country to support where you're from. You can check out facebook.com/SuperValueIreland. Myself and Kieran are staying on. We'll hear from David later in the show. And thanks again to Larry Finnerty.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.